Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua, chapter 3. And if you're visiting with us today, we're doubly honored to have you. And thank you for honoring God and honoring us with your presence. Joshua, chapter 3. Let's stand together, please. I'll read two verses and talk about crossing the river of Jordan. We've talked about the multitudes last week that went across or are getting ready to go across the river. Maybe 2 million. Some say more than that, but at least 2 million Israelites were about to march across on dry land, and the flood stage was already present. The river could have been a mile wide, long, or a mile wide. And God has prepared the people. Joshua is leading the way. The Ark of the Covenant, which is a symbol of the presence of God, is going to be going before them, carried in the proper way to lead the people to the brink of the water. Joshua chapter 3, the multitudes are getting ready to go over. He said, verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you and it, that's the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. That's prophetic, to be able to have that verse of Scripture even today. For we have not passed this way before. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, cleanse your hearts before God, get your garments ready. Something's about to happen. Be right with God, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. May God add his blessings to the reading of the Word of God. And let's pray together. Father, we love you and thank you for loving us. I pray, God, you'll speak to us and through us today. And may all this done resound to the honor and the glory of our great God. Thank you, Father, for this great passage of Scripture. And, Lord, may we apply it to our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The songwriter said it well. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. They're getting ready for the miraculous. The multitudes are now getting ready to see the miraculous God do some unusual things. As a matter of fact, I believe some of the greatest miracles that's ever been recorded in Holy Writ comes from this passage. Not just one miracle, but several that transpires in this occasion. The songwriter says, I'll go with him through the waters. I'll go with him through the waters. I'll go with him through the waters. I'll go with him all the way. I'll go with him through the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. I'll go with him through the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. I'll go with him through the garden, not my will, but thine be done. I'll go with him all the way. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory and go with me all the way. The miraculous in crossing the Jordan River. We come now to one of those great events, as I said, in history. First of all, I want to give you the stopping of the Jordan. God orders our steps. He orders our stops. He orders that which is decreed by Almighty God. When he wants something done, all he has to do is to speak and it's done. But he works with us as humans to do our part. God can do the miraculous, can he not? All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Yet he uses human instruments to do so much of the preparation. Did you know when Lazarus was in the tomb, been dead for what, 4 days? And stinketh already, the Bible says. And they come to that stone in front of the sepulcher of Lazarus. Do you know what Jesus said? He said, roll away the stone. Don't you think he could have just spoken it and burst it into smithereens? He could have. But he knew men could roll away the stone. And then after that, he spoke and said, Lazarus, come forth. By the way, aren't you glad he just said Lazarus? Well, maybe it would have been better if he hadn't said it, but said everybody. But everybody could have come forth out of the grave. If he had just said, come forth, then all the graves would have bursted open. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And then he said to the men, loose him and let him go. Don't you think God could do all of that? I mean, he could have done all the miraculous things that needed to be done, but God just doesn't do a miracle to be doing a miracle. There's always a reason behind the sovereignty of God. And God is not passing out miracles a day just to be giving out miracles. Every miracle in the Bible has behind it a great spiritual meaning. And I believe when we see the Shekinah glory or the Ark of the Covenant, where God said, I will meet with you there. Where? On that golden slab with those two cherubims of mercy extending over the mercy seat. And the Lord said, I will meet you there. Priest, get ready. Take your poles, put them in the staves on the side, those four holes, and don't you touch it. I want you to lift it high. We're getting ready to cross over to the other side. People, be sanctified. Be ready. God is about to do something fresh. I appreciate what Brendan said a while ago. God is about to do something around the world. It's almost like the panoramic view. Somebody said, where's God been? Is God dead? He's more alive than he's ever been before in the history of all mankind. He has not vacated nor abdicated his throne. He is still on the throne of glory and never gets caught off guard and never says, uh-oh. God knows exactly what's going on with the virus of this world today. I don't have the answers. I said a while ago, and don't we have opinions? How many of you got opinions? Raise your hand. Well, God bless you for opinion. Everybody's got them. I mean, everybody's got them. Somebody says it's like armpits, and they all stink. We all got opinions about everything. I can tell you, it's not a matter of my opinion. I can only give you what God's Word says. I can maybe debate some things back and forth and wonder why people do what they're doing. I'll leave it between them and God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before God. But I do know this, there is a miraculous working God who can do things when he sets aside his own laws and lets it happen. And he says, God, through the leaders, told them they're going to do something great tomorrow. Getting ready to cross over to the other side. And the miraculous is about to happen. The greatest miracle ever happened to me was the day the Lord saved me. And it all sort of falls into perspective. You say, well, preacher, big deal. Well, yeah, big deal. Amen. God reached farther down than I could reach up to save my wretched soul. You say, was you a mean kid? Every kid's mean. Amen. I was a sinner, born in sin, depraved nature. Realized I was a sinner. God loved me. Jesus reached the long arm of love down from heaven, down through the quarters of time, and reached right down to Cranberry Baptist Church and saved my wretched soul. To God be the glory for that. Amen. You had a miracle happen in your life. Some of you got over it. Maybe some of us all got over it. The greatest transaction ever took place in your life is when God kissed away your sins. When the Holy Ghost of God come to tabernacle in your body. Don't you think that's a miracle? The Ark of the Covenant was the presence of God. And now the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, lives inside of our mortal bodies. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. He says, get ready. He hadn't passed this way before. And boy, life is an adventure. We hadn't passed this way before. We hadn't passed this way before. Now, I've been through, remember 9/11? How many remember 9/11? You know where you was at on 9/11? Boy, I do. Remember what Mr. Bush said when he gave that classic speech? He says, don't let the terrorists dictate how you live your life. You do the normal things the very best you can, And that's what we ought to do as a society. I believe God wants us to trust Him. He says, give me this day my daily bread. I am not to fret and worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. I'll tell you what I have today. Yesterday is a canceled check. It's over. I don't know. I can't undo yesterday. Tomorrow is a promissory note. God promised the victory in the days ahead, but I've not been there yet. And so it's a promissory note. What I have is the cash for today. And when you read the Bible, you'll find the word daily popping up often. Give me this day my daily bread. Take up your cross daily and follow me. And somewhere in the sequence of our life, we've got to come to the conclusion, I am not God, and He is. And I can trust Him if I can trust Him with the greatest possession that I have, and that's my eternal soul.
Amen. That's right.
Can you trust Him for that? Have you been saved? How many of you know Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There was a point in time in your life when you were lost and dying on your way to hell. And God turned you around by His omnipotent power when you said, Lord, I cannot go on. I cannot live like this. I've got to be saved. And you put your little faith in the great hand of God, and God saved you. And thank God He did. And thank God He's still in the saving business. God wants to do great things around the world. Could it take a germ? One germ of all the satellites and weapons of we have, and the machinery and the missiles and the bombs and all the technology we have today, we can blow up anywhere. But that don't get our attention. But one little germ of a virus, which is called a pestilence in the Bible. Pestilence means diseases or plagues. Why it's covering the whole world today, I do not know. The intensity of it, is it worse than anything in the past? I do not know. I just know it's more publicized. I know it's more on the minds of people than anything I've seen in my generation. But when George Bush said, don't let the enemy control your daily affairs. Now listen, God is in charge. I'm supposed to trust Him through thick and thin, and I've got to learn to do that. Sometimes my faith is weak. I prepared another sermon this morning to preach, but I didn't prepare it. I didn't bring it. Yeah, I got it. It's over here. Maybe I'll preach it before I get through this morning. But I prepare another sermon for the day. But as I wrestled with it, I said, what could be more appropriate than seeing the miraculous God? We're crossing into uncharted waters. They're getting ready to cross across the Jordan River. It was a mile wide, chapter 3, verse 15. And it was flood stage. You know, why does God do that? Why didn't He just let it be a little narrow river like it usually is? He let it come, going to cross over at the flood time. God likes to let circumstances get hard to test your faith. He ain't going to make everything. See, I've been in the Jordan River. I got baptized in the Jordan River. It's not the most beautiful river in the world. And it's not very wide, not very big at all. It's a great tributary through the land over there. But I've been there. I've seen it with my own eyes. And remember when Naaman wanted to be healed? He said, can I not go into the other rivers of Damascus? Do I have to go down into muddy Jordan to be healed? And God said, you just do what you're supposed to do through the man of God, and I'll heal you. But you do what God said, and I'll take care of the rest of it. But that little Jordan River, He said, now it's going to be a mile wide. What's the miracle? When those priests, with all the tribes of Israel, 12 of them around him, looking 2,000 cubits back, 3,000 feet behind or beside, looking, and they saw that Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of the presence of God. I'll meet you there. Wherever I lead, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never tell you to go anywhere that I won't go with you. And so He's leading the way. And the priests are going to have a test of faith. I'll tell you who had the greatest faith, or a test of his faith, with Joshua. I mean, he just come to forefront. Moses, I imagine Joshua said, Moses, where are you at? And he knew Moses had been dead and buried on Mount Nebo. But you can't, Joshua was told, be of good courage and be of good faith. And maybe Joshua said, boy, I wish old Moses was here. I'd like to talk to Moses more than he did out to Red Sea. I need some advice. I could hear God through His Holy Spirit saying to Joshua, a greater than Moses is here. One greater than Moses is talking to you, son. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Joshua said, yes, Lord. Gathering all the people through the lieutenants and through the colonels and generals of their army. Get them all together and tell them what God said. And said, now when your feet touch the brink of the water. So these priests, these Levitical priests carrying that Ark of the Covenant had a test of faith. Is it going to happen or is it not going to happen? You see where doubt comes into our lives? The difference between faith and fear. Faith or fear, which is it? God said, I'm going to make the circumstances a little more unbearable. It's even harder what you thought it was going to be. And sometimes in your life, situations come that seem unbearable. It's one thing to see situations come that you can sort of halfway cope with and maybe explain, but then it seems like it gets worse. It gets worse. Somebody come by a while ago, met him out in the lobby, I known him for years, gave him a check for the church. He said, preacher, I just want to come by and tell you I love you. Thank you for being a part of my life. And he said, pray for me, pray for my wife. And she's going through some, he explained the disease to me. And he said, things are getting really tough. Can't go to church anymore like used to. And you see, life gets mighty tough sometimes as you live any longevity. It's like the, I think it was named Buck Buchanan, who played for Kansas City Chiefs football, young man, years ago, contacted cancer. And he said, Lord, why me? I don't understand it. I'm at the peak of my career. I play football. I'm in shape. And now they diagnose me with terminal cancer. And he said, I don't understand it. Why me? In his biography or words written about him, it says that he found a, and come across a 7-year-old girl that was dying of cancer. And then he turned and talked to himself and said, why not me? Why not me? I don't know what the future holds for you nor me. I don't know what the future holds for Faith Baptist Church. But I know God's already been there. And I know God is in charge. I want to say that verbally. I don't want it to be mentality. I want it to be with my heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct your path. Step in the brink of the water. Amen. And by faith, they come down. Just imagine this now, folks. The one step. Right there are. Maybe the priest said, oh, you reckon it's going to happen? Maybe they had doubts. Help my unbelief. Lord, I know you can do anything, but are you serious? And they looked up and saw the presence of God in some symbolic way right above them. My help cometh down from above.
Amen. That's right.
God is my refuge, my high tower. Waters flashing, splashing up on the bank. And the priest steps in. And the waters roll back. All the way up to the city of Adam, Saratan. Some say that was 15 or 20 miles. Down toward the Dead Sea, another 10 miles or so. Whatever the distance was is immaterial. Some say 25 miles. The waters rode back that way. That's a pretty good miracle, isn't it? And the water rode back that way. That's a pretty good miracle. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? You got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. If he's done it for somebody else, don't you think he'll do something for us? You say, but preacher, I just doubt God. Let's get over our doubt. Whatsoever is of doubt is sin. We are not supposed to sin. And when we doubt God to that degree, we're sinning against God of unbelief. And boy, sometimes the devil makes us doubt. There's some folks here doubting their salvation. You know why? Because he's a spirit of fear. He don't want you to believe you're going to heaven. Are you saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? You say, I did exactly what God said do. Then if you did what God did said, you did what God said, God did what he said he would do.
Amen.
And he cannot lie. Sometimes you're going through a turmoil of your life and you wonder, God, remember me? I prayed that prayer. There's been times in my own life, Lord, remember me. How long, O Lord, is it going to happen? How long will this travail? I cannot answer the question. It may be my entire life. God lets it be in my life. You'll say, where's his prayer answering God? Well, listen, when you die, you talk about another miracle. Amen. Miracle on top of miracle. You say, well, those are things that you can think about and wish you had. You see, faith is that which is able to see the invisible. That's what Moses did. Hebrews 11, what, 27? He endured as one seeing him who is invisible. Well, how do you see he is invisible? Get the chapter. Get the first words of verse 27. By faith. Faith is able to have an eyesight that looks beyond this world and says, my God is sufficient. My God is able. So they stood in the water, and then the miracle that his priest got in the water, and then something else had to happen. I mean, back up the way, there was all these tributaries and all this streams that flowed into Jordan. What? Had to stop all those. And then he decided, well, they can't walk in mud. And the Bible says, read it in the passages, they walked across on dry land. The riverbed got dry. All just dried up. Some idiot tried to explain it away years ago. And he says, what happened? There was a landslide north of the place where they crossed, and that landslide failed and blocked the water for a while. I don't know how he explained the other end, but he was explaining this up toward Adam City. He was trying to explain it away. There was always somebody trying to explain it away. Remember? Somebody says when Moses crossed the Red Sea, well, it was only ankle deep. You ever heard that? And somebody said, well, praise the Lord. That's a great miracle. You talk about they crossed over on ankle deep. Anybody could do that. No, that's not it. All of Pharaoh's army got drowned in that ankle deep water. Wow, God specializes in miracles. God's going to do the part he's supposed to do. Our part is to believe him and trust him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. You see, the might of the stopping came, verse 15. And as they bear the ark or come to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth his banks all the time of harvest. The flood season. Move forward. Circumstances at their worst. Never been easy. Never been comfortable for Christians in this world. Listen to me. Somehow we've got to get a hold of this, and I think we're missing it. I think I'm missing it. We never have been called on to have an easy life. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier. Did you know that the Christian life is the best life and our yoke is easier than the world's, but it is full of crosses, suffering, and hardness all the way to the end? So sometimes we get to the commands and say, move forward, and our circumstances seems worse than somebody else's. It's nothing like the early church, as I mentioned previously. There's nothing like the suffering they went through. And here we are, being carried to heaven on flowery beds of ease. Could it be, been said many times about tragedies, is this the next chapter that God is going to allow to come to get the attention of our people? Here's what I thought about. Forgive me if I'm wrong theologically. The Lord says, I'm sick and tired of you trampling my blood under your feet. I'll give you a red map across this world that reminds you of the blood of Christ. Look at the maps. They're all in red. That don't stand for Republican right now. That stands for virus. You will not always trample my son's blood under your feet. I'm a merciful God. I'm a loving God. I want to save you and take you to heaven. And I bankrupted heaven and gave the very best that heaven had in giving my son. But you keep trampling the mercies of me under your feet. You act like it's all right to shack up and live any way you want to. You act all right to murder babies and kill them outside the womb. You act like it's all right to drink in the liquor and get drowsed and drunk in this country till we have millions and millions of alcoholics. You think it's all right when people shoot up drugs and live their life like they want to and people are snubbing their noses at me. He said, I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. You know what's keeping the wrath of God from falling? The prayers of God's people in Greece. You see, I sort of picture it like this. You talk about a flood getting ready to come. When the flood of God's wrath comes, as we're introduced to it after the rapture especially, when the wrath of God begins to fall out on this world, and the Holy Ghost of God who dwells in us, he who is there is not going to be there anymore in the capacity in the believers, because we're going to go to heaven. Holy Spirit will always be present. But the prayers of God's people, God's been a merciful God. If God's not merciful and does not listen to God's to men's prayers, he didn't listen to Abraham when he interceded for Lot. God's hand was stayed until Abraham quit praying. And somewhere along the way we're praying, but the prayer will change somewhere after a while, perhaps for the elect's sake. Lord, I want my loved one saved. I want you to wait a little longer, but then I'm going to change that. Even so, come now, Lord Jesus. We sing it for years. Wait a little longer, please, Jesus. A few more days to get our loved ones in. I understand that. I don't want my loved ones to go to hell. But can you imagine how much God's mercy has been tested over and over again? And one day, the wrath of God's going to fall. And man is going to suffer the wrath of God. Well, are you ready to cross over? Are you ready for what God wants to do in your life? There's a lot of miracles that happen that are just beyond belief. And that stopping took place. The measure of that stopping, I said, maybe 25 feet or 25 miles long, stretching, an amazing miracle, until all of the Jews, not only the Jews, but the stock, the livestock, everything they had in possessions was going across the Jordan River. And what's really was a miracle, and make it even worse, seeing the miracle, is right when they got across the Jordan, they already knew about Jericho, and they're going to have to fight the enemy right off bat. And I believe up and down that 25-mile length of miracle, the Amorites and the Canaanites were on the other side. And they're seeing something that brought terror to them, according to the Word of God, that brought terror to their hearts. I don't believe Christians need to be on the defense. We need to be on the offense. Yeah. And Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We ought to realize we're not supposed to be behind bunkers shooting pea shooters.
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
Get up. Go forward. Cross over. I want to do something for you that you can't even imagine what's going to happen. I want you to obey me. And boy, I need that down in the recesses and the fabric of my soul. Even this morning, as your pastor, the drying of the Jordan was a miracle. Let all men be liars and God be true. The restoring of the Jordan back to its original water flow was a miracle. Once they got over there, of course, they had to do some other things before the water came back. I'll talk about it next week. You see the multitudes. You see the miraculous, then you see the memorials. And lest I forget it and I'm through. The memorials that were set up, two of them, one in the middle of Jordan and one at Gilgal. He said, don't you ever forget. And when your children come along, what meaneth these stones? You tell them what happened. And somewhere along the way, our kids need to see some memorials and see some thinking happening that they can't explain by human language. And I thought about this. You know, I don't know how our children react to the virus. I'm not sure how their fears and the questions, they may not have any, may have many. But little kids are people. They need to see Christian people who say, we haven't passed this way before, but God's going to help us.
Amen.
And we don't know what the future holds, but we know it holds our hand. We're just going to trust him. Let come will what may, I do not know. But somewhere along the way, the finality of our life will come. and the battle will be over. But until then, just keep walking. Keep believing me. Do what I say. Trust me. Trust and obey.
Amen.
For there is no other.